You're listening to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast. It's for the week ending September 11, and it's podcast number 56. This week's conversation is about the apparently widespread practice of ghostwriting among the major medical journals, a topic that we discussed with someone else about 18 months ago in podcast number 2. First, a look at the week's principal clinical news. The news that overshadowed everything else, health-wise, this week, was President Barack Obama's speech before both houses of Congress. If you missed it, we've provided a link to the transcript. Of more immediate interest was the news from the early trials of vaccines against 2009 H1N1 virus. It looks like a single injection is going to be enough to immunize most people. However, the youngest kids are still going to need 2 shots, so you can expect lots of wailing in the exam rooms. Lay in a big supply of lollipops. Also of interest this week was the advice from an FDA panel that Gardasil, the quadrivalent human papillomavirus vaccine, be approved to prevent genital warts in males aged 9 through 26. More details are at podcasts.jwatch.org. Now on to the interview. You're listening to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast. An abstract presented at JAMA's Peer Review Congress in Vancouver this week reports rates of honorary authorship and ghost authorship among the 6 principal general medical journals. Those rates are surprising. Among the corresponding authors of nearly 900 articles examined, about 1 in 5 admitted that there was an honorary author on their paper, and about 1 in 12 confessed anonymously that their paper had a ghost author. We're fortunate to have the first 2 of the abstract's authors, Joseph Wislar, a survey research specialist at JAMA, and Annette Flanagan, herself the managing deputy editor of JAMA, to discuss the differences between honorary authorship and ghost authorship, and what implications they think these findings hold for medical research. Thanks for joining us today, Mr. Wislar and Ms. Flanagan.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Joe.
Tell us first, please, what's the difference between an honorary author and a ghost author?
Well, a ghost author is someone who did work but wasn't credited for it in the article, who basically was not acknowledged, whereas an honorary author may have done some work but not enough to meet the ICMJE criteria for authorship.
Okay, so
and they are named.
Okay, so an honorary author might be somebody who has like a stock of virus and says, look, if I'm going to let you use my virus, you're going to have to put my name on your paper.
That might be an example of an honorary author. So they're also known as guest or gift authors, and they're people who don't meet the formal definition for authorship as determined by the International Committee of Medical Journal Editors.
And ghost authorship is a different matter. A ghost author might be someone who, for instance, writes a draft of a paper and for you at your behest, and then says, "What do you think, Annette? I've written a draft of the paper. Go ahead, make some changes, put your name on it. But I'm not going to list my name because I'm just a journalist, and I'm better at putting paragraphs together and avoiding dangling participles. I'm better at that than you are. That could be a ghost author.
That could be a ghost author, or that could be a ghost writer.
Mm-hmm.
And in either case, such ghosting would be inappropriate. And if the person merited authorship, they should be named in the byline at the top of the journal article. If they don't merit authorship, but they've contributed significantly to that writing, they should be named in the acknowledgement.
Okay. So people who serve as editors of manuscript editors of papers should at least be acknowledged. We thank Joe Elia for drafting a first draft of this paper for us, although he did no research. He knows how to use words.
Yes, but we would argue that person should be named, and their contribution should be named, their affiliation should be named, and whether they were compensated for that work should also be identified.
Okay, but in your survey, you list people who do such things as ghost authors, and that's what people were confessing to.
That's one instance of ghost authorship that they were confessing to.
We had asked them, was there are two components or two different questions that were asked about ghost authors. And this was following previous research. If the corresponding author reported that an individual who was not listed as an author and made contributions that merited authorship, or if an unnamed individual participated in writing the article, they were counted as a ghost.
Okay. So a more serious breach and a different circle of hell, if you will, might exist for people who write a paper at someone's behest, hand it back to the person who's paid for that writing, and then the person who's paid for that writing go off looking for people to put their names on that.
We would consider that inappropriate.
Right. That would
the level of seriousness and the depths of the sin. We didn't actually assess in our study, but there's been much written about that.
Yes. And that's a more serious breach. That's frankly unethical. And I was having breakfast with my friend Dave this morning, and we were talking about this issue. And he said, well, it seems that people in that instance, the sponsors, typically a manufacturer, is trying to gain credibility for their work on the basis of someone else's name.
Well, we'd have to ask those sponsors that question, but clearly there's some agenda. We did collect data on sponsorship of the articles that were ghost associated with a ghost author and those that were not. We haven't run those analyses yet, but that's high on our list of to-dos.
You're going to try to publish a more complete accounting then of this research, because I think all that any of us has is the abstract that you presented.
Yes, we're here at a meeting, and as you know, at any scientific or clinical meeting, research is presented, and one of the strengths of this meeting is that there's equal time for discussion from the audience to help us identify the issues and concerns about this study, how we can improve the reporting of it when we do write up the paper and submit it for publication somewhere.
Is someone who's trying to get an article into one of the top journals more likely to seek help than someone who's saying, okay, this is the fourth iteration of these data. They've been, you know, people have found similar things. This is not going to JAMA or the New England Journal of Medicine or Lancet. It's going to some lesser journal. So I'll just write it up and send it in. But somebody who's aiming for JAMA, for instance, needs some help, and we're saying, and what you're saying is that any help needs to be acknowledged, either as an author or as an editor in an acknowledgement note. Is that right?
Yeah, we require, I'm speaking for JAMA now, mm-hmm. We require every author to attest to us how they have contributed in writing at the time the manuscript is submitted. We also require the corresponding author to identify in writing any other contributions that were made to the work that do not merit authorship, such as writing assistance or editing assistance or statistical assistance.
All right. So all
and we will then publish each of those contributions at the end of the article for all to see.
I talked last spring with Joseph Ross. I think he's at Mount Sinai, and he had published an article in JAMA on the Vioxx documents, and He looked through those documents for evidence of ghost authorship and what he called guest authorship. So is your research a kind of an outgrowth of that, or is it part of that school of research that's trying to, or is studying the question of who's an author, who isn't, and how do you make sure that the literature is whole?
Yeah, our study is a replication of a very similar study that was done in 1996. One of our hypotheses was that we would see a change in the prevalence of rates of honorary and ghost authorship in this time because there's been significant awareness raised to the issue. And we used the exact same survey instruments, the same methodology. The only difference is this time we were permitted to do it online.
So there were also the methodologies were similar except for the survey being done online and paper last time. But we also looked at, in the previous study in 1998, it was we looked at the three journals that were in both studies and three specialty journals last time, and it focused on U.S. authors, whereas the study that we did this time, we looked at the six general medical journals with the top impact factor and included authors from all over the globe rather than just U.S. But essentially, the instrument and everything else is all the same.
So you noticed a drop in somewhat in honorary authorship. Is that right?
No, we saw no significant change in honorary authors, but we did see a small significant decline in ghost authorship.
So the practice of ghost authorship is declining somewhat, but not satisfactorily.
Well, we saw a significant decline, which is pleasing, but we would have liked to have seen it drop more.
Yeah, our conclusion is that any ghosting is inappropriate.
What are the implications of this for the credibility of the results that are presented? It seems that, you know, roughly 8-10% of the time there's been ghost writing. That calls into doubt the bona fides of the message in the research paper. What would you suggest that medical journals do?
Well, one of the things that we've been recommending is that medical journals, biomedical journals, and any journal in life sciences involving research that eventually will affect patient care and public health, request authors to tell us what they did, give us their contributions, and then publish those so that readers can see those. Along the same line, we request authors to tell us their conflicts of interest, more transparency, and then more accountability. So we hope that journals will continue to do that, because now not everyone is doing that. Some are only collecting the information and not publishing it. We'd like to see everyone, all the journals, collect it and publish it. Another is when you do find an issue, that you publicize it. I can refer you to the editors of PLOS Medicine, which is a general medical journal, just published this week an editorial saying that this practice is unacceptable and that they believe that there should be naming and shaming, and maybe even sanctions.
I believe I read on a blog that they were calling for some of those papers to be withdrawn.
I think they were doing that, yeah. The other thing is just to continue to raise awareness among editors of journals, mm-hmm. among researchers themselves, of the importance of transparency of all who have contributed to this research.
And your analysis of the data continues, and I guess we can look forward to seeing a publication, we hope in an accessible journal, fairly soon.
We do too, thank you.
All right, Mr. Wislar, Ms. Flanagan, thank you so much for your time. I know that you've got a conference to get back to, and I appreciate your taking the time out of lunch to talk with me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much, Joe.
I have just one sort of minor point that needs to be clarified.
Mm-hmm.
In your introduction, you'd said that we had surveyed 900 people. What we actually did was we sampled 900 people, but we only got responses back from 630, which is about a 70% response rate.
Okay. You know what? I may just incorporate that at the end of the interview.
Since this is supposed to be relevant to practicing docs, you might even note that response rate is higher than surveys of most physicians.
That's true.
It's actually a high and acceptable response rate. If you look at just in the survey industry, it's a very nice response rate.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Go off, get something to eat, and again, my thanks to you. Your suggestions and comments are welcomed at 1-617-440-4374. Or you can write to jelia@nejm.org. To listen to earlier podcasts, go to podcasts.jwatch.org. Links for all stories are also found there. Well, we're all ears, so drop us a note. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adoriano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next week. Enough said.